If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
After Texas Senator Ted Cruz accused Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney in a recent interview of having Trump derangement syndrome, Cheney tweeted, quote, "Trump broke Ted Cruz." Yeah, but that's like breaking an IKEA bookshelf. It was about to go anyway. You put books on it? Oh, you can't put books on it.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Paul Rudd. But first, a closer look.
Republicans defended Congressman Paul Gosar after he was formally censured by the House for tweeting a violent video targeting a colleague. Meanwhile, former President Trump sat down for a truly insane interview with MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, where they continued to spread their election lies. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Watching our two political parties right now is very much like watching two completely alternate realities, or like watching two teams on the same field play completely different sports. Like if the Jets showed up to a game against the Patriots in soccer gear and loudly complained every time they were tackled. I'm sorry. When you said football, you meant American football? We wrote that last night, and then, you know, then the Jets show up in vaccine news as well. We had no idea how badly they were going to take it. For example, on the one hand, you had President Biden signing into law a widely popular bipartisan infrastructure bill that will invest over $1 trillion in everything from roads and bridges to broadband to electric vehicles. And the best part was he didn't do that dumb thing Trump used to do where he'd hold up the bill for the cameras. Like a judge at the Olympics holding up a 10 after a floor routine. That's a joke from our new segment. Remember that? Remember that? When the president used to show off the bill for the cameras like he was a waiter at a restaurant that had the specials written on a chalkboard? Was he signing a bill or doing story time at a local library? With that said, can you imagine Donald Trump reading a book to kids? That's a joke from our new segment, Imagine That. Can you imagine that? Donald Trump reading to kids what would most certainly be one of his books.
So the three key deals, the three keys to any successful deal. One, think big. Two, maximize your options. And three, know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy with mob ties.
This has been Imagine That within Remember That. I will say one quick thing about the Biden bill signing, and this is independent of Biden. Why do they always give the most powerful man in the world a tiny little schoolboy desk? Just because that was the right size desk for what counted as tall in 1776 doesn't mean we can't upgrade. You guys couldn't find something a little more suited to the presidency? Where's he gonna do the next bill signing? Crammed into a middle seat in coach? Point is, that's what Democrats are up to. Republicans, meanwhile, spent their Wednesday defending one of their most unhinged members, Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar, who was censured by the House for tweeting out a violent video that targeted a colleague.
A dramatic and historic day at the U.S. Capitol as the House voted to censure Congressman Paul Gosar over a violent video he posted on social media. The Arizona Republican becomes the first member of Congress to be simultaneously censured and stripped of his committee posts. The Photoshop video shows Gosar appearing to kill Democratic colleague Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and then heading for President Biden while wielding two swords.
No matter how much the left tries to quiet me, I will continue to speak out. If I must join Alexander Hamilton, the first person attempted to be censored by this House, so be it. It is done.
Well, this probably doesn't need to be said, but you're not Alexander Hamilton. For one thing, I would be terrified to hear you rap. My name is Paul, and I'm here to say I forgot what I was here to say. Second, I love when these idiots try to sound smart and adopt a defiant tone by using dramatic language like, so be it, it is done. Like, you don't sound like a founding father. You sound like Cousin Greg.
If it is to be said, so it be. So it is.
Guys, we have been watching a lot of Succession. And let me just say, I still haven't seen Sunday's episode. And I've been trying to make it all week without any spoilers. You know how hard that is? It's like trying to make it through Wipeout without getting knocked into the water by a giant piece of foam. An obstacle course that ironically looks like something Logan Roy would make his children do as a punishment.
To the obstacle course! Duck, Tom, duck!
So Gosar compared himself to Hamilton for tweeting out a violent video targeting a colleague. And by the way, to Republicans complaining that this is a waste of time, this whole thing would have been much easier and taken up much less time if you'd just been willing to step forward and say it was a deeply stupid tweet. But to be fair, he is a deeply stupid man. Instead, we all had to be subjected to the theater of the aggrieved from the dumbest people in politics. Take, for example, what I like to call the Ertz, Louis Gohmert and Lauren Boebert, whose last names both sound like insults. Boebert sounds like something a New Yorker would yell at an out-of-towner who stands at the top of the escalator. Hey, get out of the way, you Boebert! People got jobs in this city! You said this before, but her name sounds like a Dilbert character who refuses to get vaccinated. The joke would be something dumb like, the vaccines have chips in them, and then Dilbert would say, what flavor are they, ranch or sour cream? Which is why I'm team peanuts all the way. Lucy would never have stood for the She had to deal with the modern GOP. She'd reopen her psychiatry booth and jack the fee up to 15 cents. You know what? I think we maybe landed that tangent. Can we get a score from the judges? A 3? Sherby, you're biased. The point, once again, is that while Democrats were focused on signing a widely popular infrastructure bill into law, these lunatics were defending the insane behavior of one of their most unhinged and reckless members. Gohmert offered perhaps the dumbest defense, claiming he tried to freeze the video to see the violence but couldn't find it.
I looked at the video enemy and was trying to figure out. I couldn't see. I'm told if you stop it frame by frame, you can see what Democrat friends are talking about. I couldn't see it. I tried to freeze frame, but I didn't see the violence being talked about.
These are our elected representatives, and they sound like grandpas who accidentally FaceTime you while they're on the toilet.
My friend sent me a funny cat video, but I couldn't see the cat fall off the sofa. Then I tried to freeze frame. I took a picture of my thumb.
And then there was Matt Gaetz, who tried to dismiss the video in question as just a cartoon while neglecting to mention that it was specifically doctored to make AOC the target of violence.
I am no expert on Japanese anime, but I am told, and I do believe, that it is not real. Anime is fiction to the point of the absurd. It's not really my thing, and it does glorify violence, but often to symbolize conflict, not realistic harm to another person. Next week, we might be indicting the Wile E. Coyote for an explosive ordinance against the Roadrunner.
All right, first of all, he's either the Coyote or Wile E. Coyote. He's not the Wile E. Coyote. There aren't other Wile E. Coyotes walking around. Thank God, that would be a living hell for them. Hi, Lee Coyote, you catch that Roadrunner yet? I'm not that one, I'm a different one. Look, am I gonna get this bank loan or not? But here's the more important point.
Don't tell anyone I wrote that part. Shut up. Shut up.
But here, I'll be be there. Give me one more second. Here's the most important point. No one is objecting to the existence of cartoons. In general, you black... I forgot this one was coming. I forgot this coming. Wait, I want to give this a fair shot. Let me reboot. But I'll be like, so pretend I've made a really good point. We're all serious. But here's the more important point. No one is objecting to the existence of cartoons in general, you blockhead. Peanuts callback. Peanuts, incidentally, what we're going to pay the writer who wrote that. There's more. We all get what anime is. We understand that it's fiction. That's not the issue. Ghostar tweeted a video with his face on a character who killed another character with AOC's face on it. If you did that at any other job, you'd get fired immediately.
Hey, Seth, is this a bad time to tell you that I posted a cartoon in the break room where you get crushed by a rock like I, Wile E. Coyote?
Wally, why did you do that?
Well, I was mad I didn't get any lines in a closer look this week.
Well, are you happy now?
Meep, meep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Paul Gosar the only one who's allowed to be Looney Tunes? And that's a landed tangent, judges. Our political system can't function like this, where one party, for all its many flaws, tries to govern responsibly and the other wants to burn everything down. And there's a through line here, because the same people defending Gosar are the ones who tried to overturn the election on January 6th. Gosar himself was one of the most prominent leaders of that movement, repeatedly claiming that secret sources within the government had told him that the election was stolen, although he clearly sounded like he had no idea what he was talking about.
If it's what I've been told, and I had people come to me early hours of the day after, from the Security Exchange Fraud Department to the CIA Fraud Department, that between 450 and 700,000 ballots were altered in the state of Arizona. The day after the election, I was contacted by two individuals. One had security and fraud jobs with the banking world. The other one goes from fraud from the Department of Defense.
I'm sorry, you couldn't remember the word jobs? When you stumble that badly on a word that simple, it's pretty obvious you're just making the up as you go. I tried that once in sixth grade when I forgot to do my math homework and it didn't go well. Mr. Myers, where's your calculus homework?
Well, it was eaten by my, hairy pet thing. What's it called? Four legs. Always going, grrr, you know. Also, sixth grade seems young for calculus. Also,
I like how the details in his story keep changing.
From the Security Exchange Fraud Department to the CIA Fraud Department. The other one goes from fraud from the Department of Defense.
Which is it, the CIA Fraud Department or someone who does fraud for the Department of Defense? Also, it doesn't matter since neither of them exist. I think your bank must have just called you about some weird charges and you got confused. Hello, Mr. Gosar. I'm from the Chase Fraud Department. We wanted to let you know about a suspicious $10,000 charge from something called Anime Photoshop Services. No, that's a good charge. I paid them. They do good work. Sadly, this is not a fringe movement. These people are the core of the modern GOP. A majority of House Republicans voted to stand with Gosar, and a majority voted to overturn the 2020 election. In fact, the supposed leader of their party, former President Trump, actually sat down for an interview at Mar-a-Lago with one of the most unhinged conspiracy theorists out there, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, where they squeezed into tiny chairs that I'm guessing were designed for Cabbage Patch dolls and bandied about the same BS about the election, although shockingly, from what I can tell, Lindell did most of the talking.
A year ago, we watched the biggest crime in history unfold right before our eyes. You've compared it to robbing of a diamond store, and they were caught, and we had enough evidence, I believe, to pass it out to 300 and some million people. Here, you take a piece, you take a piece. No judges, including the Supreme Court, looked at the evidence. They just kicked the can down the road and said, "We're no standing, no standing." And do you think that all that could have happened without the corrupt media? I mean, that was the big cover-up. In closing, I want to say there's, you know, back to the election of 2020, I want to thank you, and everyone does, for standing firm on that. And we're going to get to it. Get it gone. I've said we're going to melt down the machines and use them into prison bars.
That's very interesting. It's a very good idea.
Oh, is it? You think that's a good idea, melting down the voting machines and using them as prison bars? That sounds like an idea Magneto would reject for being too crazy.
I don't understand, Pillow Master. Say your idea again. We're gonna melt down all the voting machines and use them in prison to make dabbers!
Also, that's the most I've ever seen Donald Trump let someone else talk in an interview. Even he's like, this guy's out of his mind. Does make it extra funny that he's in a tuxedo. Trump looks like a guy whose limo broke down on the way home from the opera, nodding politely as a guy on the subway explains to him how Pizza Rat was actually a government mind control operation.
You see, the CIA trained the rat to eat the pizza so we'd all be distracted while they hacked the voting machines to make Joe Biden president for life. That's very interesting.
This is what the modern Republican Party is. There's no behavior too grotesque for them to defend, as 5 years of Donald Trump proved. And yet, as Paul Gosar proved again, it's a movement fueled by conspiracy theories and fantasies of persecution, focused primarily by trying to overturn elections instead of just doing their, what do you call them?
Jobs.
Thank you. This has been a closer look.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
You know our guest tonight from movies like This is 40, Anchorman, and Marvel's Ant-Man. You can catch him in Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is in theaters and IMAX November 19th. He also stars in The Shrink Next Door, with new episodes available to stream on Apple TV Plus every Friday. Please welcome back to the show our good friend and People Magazine, it is Sexiest Man Alive. It should be noted, not that it would have made a difference, I did not submit this year. Not saying it would have changed anything. Please welcome our friend Paul Rudd. Show.
Thanks so much.
Congratulations on this. I feel like it's a weird thing for us to talk about, so that's going to be the end of it.
Fine with me. We can finish it. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm very proud of you. I'm very happy.
Oh,
I'm not, and again, it's not like a thing between us.
Look, it's just an honor that they got it right.
Yeah. I thought that was very sweet that you framed it like that.
Thank you.
So I feel as though we have been. I feel like we've had you. We've been lucky to have Paul Rudd in our lives forever, but I don't remember when I first became aware of you. What was your first TV job? Or was it a film job? What was first?
No, it was a television show called Sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about 22, I think.
And what was it immediate success? Like, when I was a young actor, I thought, if you got a sitcom, immediately you have the money that changes your life.
Well, it didn't.
Okay.
But it was a show that existed. It was by the guys that did 30-something. It was about these four sisters. And I came on like kind of late in the show and only did a few episodes really, but it was exciting. But it was such a crazy thing. I had no money. I was living with a couple of buddies. My car was terrible. It would always break down. And so when I think about it, I just think back to my roommate, Bo, who more often than not would have to drive me to work because my car was always in the shop. And we were 21, 22, and nobody gets up at 5 in the morning when you're 21 or 22. Right. He was furious, and so we had this deal where he had horrible morning breath. I mean, like, morning breath that was so, like, you could smell it in the hallway. And so we would get in his car, and he was so mad that he had to drive me that the deal was he was allowed to breathe in my face for 1 minute. And I had to take it. I had to, and I'd try not to throw up, and then we would drive.
So not really what you think of when you picture, like, making it in Hollywood.
No, not at all. He was furious about it. One time, I got my car back, and I was driving to work, and it broke down. And I thought, I can't call him.
because I know, because this might end the friendship. It was getting, it was really, and there was no Uber then, and this was in Los Angeles. It was tough to get a taxi, and
that's a very, I mean, I should say, a lot of people talk about the fact that you were ageless. I think people have to remember, like, yeah, when you were, like, in 21,
they
22.
They had just invented cars.
Yeah, that's how you.
They didn't even, it was a new thing.
Yeah, like, there was, they had cars, but they didn't have mechanics yet.
No. And so, yeah, there was, like, mainly horses. People were still thinking, my horse was in the shop. And, but I panicked. And so I ran, there was some person coming out of like a 7-Eleven and I ran over to him and said, do you know this show? And I had a script and I said, I'm on this show. This is who I play. Can you drive me to work? and he looked at me and he said, are you serious? I said, yeah, my car broke down and I don't, and he obviously sensed the panic in my voice. And I just remember he said, all right, man, get in. And he drove, and he just drove me to Warner Brothers.
It's so funny, because if that happened, you would think this is a scam, but you wouldn't be able to clock what the scam is, right?
Right, yeah.
You're like, well, how does this end?
I got to believe he just, I did, I, he said, my wife watches that show. I think that was the saving grace. He did say his wife. But yeah, he could tell that I was really, I was on the verge of collapse. Yeah.
What about early L.A. apartments? I spent some time in some pretty gnarly ones back in my early days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you have some bad scene apartments?
Yeah, this was actually, and same roommates. it was really my roommate, Bo, was the guy.
You know, for a guy who did you a lot of favors, he's not doing great in tonight's segment.
No, Bo really came. Bo was awesome roommate. He's still a good friend of mine, but he really, like, we were in school together.
Okay.
And that was why he was my roommate. He lived in an apartment complex that was so bad. I won't name the name of the apartment complex because you could find it. But but he let me stay in his apartment because I didn't even have really the money to get an apartment. And I slept on towels in his kitchen. And then I finally kind of scrounged enough. I was able to get an apartment within the complex. But I didn't really have much furniture. And I found a mattress out by the dumpster in a mattress. And I thought, sweet.
Yeah.
Free mattress. So I just took it up to my room and then I slept on it. And then the next morning I woke up covered in red bumps. How's that for sexiest man alive?
We'll be right back with more from Paul Rudd. We're back with Paul Rudd, everybody. So this is The Shrink Next Door. This is based on a true story.
Yeah.
And it's you and Will Ferrell. You guys haven't worked together since Anchorman. And this is a giant departure, which is good because it would be very weird to do something else the same tone as Anchorman.
Yeah, as fun as that was. Yeah, this is a different thing. This is the true story. It was based on this. There was a podcast called The Shrink Next Door that came out a couple of years ago that follows the story of these two guys, a therapist and his patient. Will plays the patient, Marty Markowitz. And it kind of tracks them over the course of about 30 years. He didn't pick the right therapist.
That becomes apparent very clear, very early in their relationship.
Right, yeah. So, but then over time, you know, he kind of, you know, you kind of get sucked in a little bit and the therapist kind of takes over his life a little bit, yeah.
Was it nice to work with Will again? Obviously, it's been some years.
The greatest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know him really well. Who's better than that guy?
Yeah, it's really true. And I don't mean to blow smoke, but you guys are very similar in that when people ask me what people like you are like, I'm like, you can't believe it, but they're as nice as you would want them to be.
Well,
yeah.
You're very nice for saying that. I'm pretty awed by the guy, and I just think that it is true. He treats people really, really well, and he's so kind of sweet and talented. And I love working with him on this, too, because it's such a different side of him, but you really get to see, like, oh, yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
In addition to being a great guy. So it was really, it was a real blast to work on it with him.
You're also in the new Ghostbusters film. Congratulations. We're talking backstage.
Thanks.
I had such an emotional reaction to it, not just based on how great the film is, but like, seeing Ghostbusters as a kid, I have a real memory of, like, going to the theater and seeing that film and feeling like, oh, this is a kid's movie, but the people in it are cooler than most people in kid's movies.
Right.
Which must have made it so amazing to be asked to be a part of the legacy of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was our generation. I mean, I remember, too, when that movie came out, and it was an event. And then it becomes kind of part of just the culture, and that Ray Parker Jr. song and everything. It was like, from all angles, it was just a huge deal. And so now this is made, and Jason Reitman wrote it and directed it, and his father, Ivan Reitman, directed the original. So there's this just lineage that's happening, and to kind of be a part of all of that is pretty nuts.
Trying not to give anything away, but, you know, we had the original, the three Ghostbusters are still with us, Bill and Danny and Ernie. And it just must have been so surreal to see them showing up on set and getting to not just work with them, but see them in their old busting gear.
It's pretty surreal. pretty surreal, to say the least, for sure, yeah.
I feel like you, every time you're here, there's things that you're worried that you don't want to give away spoilers. Like, that's one of the terrifying things of being an actor.
Well, it's like a weird thing now, isn't it? That where, you know, all of a sudden, there are all of these things you can't talk about and things that, yeah, you don't want to give away. I think...
It must be especially hard when you go on, like, a talk show.
Knowing it's going to be an issue. Yeah. It's a minefield.
So you were here... and we were talking about the things you can't talk about. Mm. This is before they had announced that the title of a Marvel film was Avengers Endgame. Mm. That was a big announcement.
Right.
Which I will say, I think that's really silly because I feel like people are going to see those movies no matter what the titles are.
I think you're right.
I think
that one had a good shot of, yeah.
I mean, I feel like if it was just called, like, Avengers The Gang's Back Together, I think people would have, like... I did not know the title was Endgame.
Right. No one did. It wasn't announced.
But then we were having a conversation here, and I said Endgame. Mm. And I want to show the clip, because I feel like in that moment, you look like you're worried that you accidentally told me.
Did I mess up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Show it real quick.
I think I messed up.
You think about it? Well, I think... I don't know how that could mess up, though, because I would only think that would make more people see the movie, which I feel like is the Endgame.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
There's a pause.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think my stomach went...
That you wear where you go back to the dressing room, they're like, we have a new Ant-Man. we're using our backup Ant-Man from here on out.
We're going to go with Will Ferrell. With
we hear he's lovely to work
he's
with,
he's the greatest
Paul.
Guy in show business.
Hey, thanks
give it
for
away.
Being here again, man. It's always such a pleasure to see you. Paul Rudd, everybody. New episodes of The Shrink Next Door available to stream Fridays on Apple TV+.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.